Y'all do think about these words before you speak them, right? Nothing compares to the promise. Nothing intimidates the promise. Nothing causes fear for the promise. Y'all are saying amen to all of these, right? Nothing compares to the promise I have in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all ready to do a little studying? Well, I hope we have something to study tonight. Let's pray and make sure we do. Amen? Father, your people said they wanted to hear from you tonight. I definitely do. I want to know what you know, see what you see, feel what you fear. Therefore, we want to hear from you tonight. Take this vessel. Do whatever you need to do to make it conform to what you want to do here tonight. Touch the ears, the heart. Let them receive from what you do tonight through this vessel. We will leave here changed in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. I might suggest something to you. If you really like the idea of the person that's going to minister, whoever that may be, you really like the idea of them laying themselves on God's altar, very possibly it'd be a good thing for you to do that before you come. Because what God wants to do in any teaching, in any scenario, is touch our hearts to change us, right? So our hearts have to be prepared before we come. And it's not good enough for the speaker to prepare. You must prepare. Because God gets all excited when everybody comes prepared. If you want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, you become one. You become a wonder in this earth that has now been sanctified before you ever walk into the house of God. Because you're in the presence of God before you come in here. You're prepared for whatever He's about to do in here. Come on, this is good stuff. We need to adopt an attitude in our everyday lives that this is the day the Lord hath made. And the reason I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it is because this is the day the Lord hath made. The Lord can make nothing bad. He only makes good. Therefore, I can't think of anything bad to think of. But what I can do this day is expect the good that God has planned for today. What is that yet? Don't know. Get busy and find out. Perfect love casts out fear, right? You do love God, you trust Him, then get out there with excitement and find out what He's going to do today. You're expecting Him to do something tonight, right? But your expector turned on. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you, hopefully not too long tonight. I don't care how long it is. You care how long it is? You know, we need to stop putting God in a box. Somebody told me tonight that, well, we'll just keep going and people fall out, people are healed. Whatever happens, we just keep going. And I said, till in the morning? He said, I don't care. I don't have any place to go. And I said, well, I don't either, come to think of it. If God starts doing something, you don't have any place to go. Put everything else to one side and just hang in there. Amen? And since God doesn't have a watch, you see that I don't have one. You know that God doesn't have a watch. Okay. Why? Because He doesn't need one. And He's really not worried about our schedule. He doesn't care if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He doesn't really care. He just says, we're two or more together in my name, I will be there. So that's what makes church good. Amen? I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the difference between faithful and responsible. In fact, if you're looking for a title, it's called Faithful, Not Responsible. And it came from a situation where, and I don't think I'm going to finish this tonight, so we just get started. I think the only thing longer than my talking is my study. So I have to narrow that down and try to get it in some time frame. But my wife has taken on the burden of trying to pick a very expensive piece of software, working a business. And the other morning she got up and she looked like she was carrying the burden. And I believe God gave me a word for her, and I'm going to share that with you tonight. One of them was that part of that word is you're faithful. You are to be faithful, but you're not to be responsible. Y'all get that picture? You are to be faithful, but you're never to be responsible. You can, that's all right. If that touches you, let it loose. In 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to hit just a couple of scriptures quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. I want to tell you why you are, begin to tell you why you're not responsible. Scripture says you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. And in my version, it says, do not become slaves of men. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, everybody in here, generically speaking, not genderly speaking, is a man. You're part of a human. And the biggest slave driver that you really, you should have a slave driver in you. You really should. The biggest slave driver that you must resist is you. Don't become a slave to you or any other human situation, whether it's a person, place, or thing. Why? Because you were bought with a price. Do you know what bought with a price means? Everybody in here know bought with a price, what that means. See, the reason I ask you that is I've been in church for a million years, it seems like. And it's absolutely amazing, those people that go to church, that we speak in common used phrases, and there's a lot of people that don't even understand what they mean. Just so that you make, we make sure we give proper praise to the proper direction. Bought with a price is the price God paid through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, did Jesus pay a price? Absolutely, but let's get this thing in order. God paid the price by giving His only begotten Son. Now, anybody that's got a child must understand that the child that dies doesn't suffer near as much as the parent that gives the life. That's the reason I state it that way. The price was horrendous. The price was terrible, but the price was paid. And if we can always keep in mind how much it hurt God to purchase our redemption, then we can value our redemption. We can also respect the one that paid the price. And that's what this is about. I want you to respect. Don't become a slave of any situation because it brings disrespect to God. Don't become a slave. You have been made a free man by this price that's been paid. You understand? You're a free man. Don't become a slave to a situation. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. I'm not interested in you knowing all of this. But I would have you without carefulness. How many of us are too careful? Other than me. See, I'm way too careful. And I know that. And God talks to me about that often. And I repent and try to change. With His help, I can't, but with it, I can. Without His help, I can't. Let me read the one phrase in there, in 31. For the form of this world is passing away. The form of this world is passing away. See, for the fashion of this world passeth away. New King James says it's passing away. Verse 32, but I want you to be without care. God is speaking something to you right now. I want you without care. That doesn't mean without faith. It means without responsibility. Take no thought for today. Don't you worry about today. I've got today and tomorrow taken care of. Amen? Nothing compares to the promise that I have in Him. Not threat, not worry, not big, huge job, not big debt, not anything compares to the promise that I have in Him. So what that means is I go out and create debt because I don't worry about it. No, that's not faithful. That's you going and signing a document and becoming responsible. When God never asked you to sign a document trying to make Him responsible. A faithful person takes what he has and uses it faithfully. Are you saying you need to be tight? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you you need to take on cares that aren't yours. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Let me say something to you the way I think God would say it to you. when I'm doing something and I know what I'm doing, nothing irritates me more than somebody coming and telling me how to do it. Anybody in here like that? I mean, I get irritated fast. I get irritated fast. Do you think God knows what He's doing? Then why do we spend so much time trying to help Him? We got to give Him advice, or we've got to give Him a hand, or we've got to work a little harder, or we've got to pay a little more, or whatever has been bugging you lately. And I know everybody has something they're thinking about. God doesn't need our help. He needs us to trust Him. And if we don't trust Him, He can't work through us. He can't do what He knows to do because we're in the way. I get out there and here comes the grandkids all over. And I can't even do anything because they're right in my way. And sometimes you just want to go, get out of the way. I don't do that, but I sure want to. Sometimes God wants to. Sometimes He would like to use His foot to do things that we don't want Him to do. Sometimes I can hear Him say this to you. You want to worry? I'll give you something to worry about. Because I've said that before to my kids. You want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. And this is a little funny, but it's nearly too funny. It's just nearly hits to the wrong spots. We get in His way by being concerned when we're not supposed to be concerned. We're supposed to be faithful. We think that God puts responsibility on us when He doesn't. He puts blessings on us. And then our faithfulness determines whether we walk in the blessing or not. If we miss it, oh my God, I'm going to hell. Well, you're taking responsibility again. If He'd have wanted to make you perfect, He'd have made you perfect. Don't ask me why He didn't. I don't have the answer. If He'd have wanted us to have the answer, He'd have given it to us. Maybe it's because He wants us to trust Him. Maybe when we keep running into those things in the job market or in finances or whatever, it's one of two things. You haven't been faithful or you're not trusting Him. I can quote you 100 times in the Bible where Jesus just said, "Oh, ye little faith." And you're going, "What are you talking about, little faith? I'm here talking to you." He said, "No, but you're not trusting me. You're here talking, but you're not trusting me. I told you just to be quiet and trust. When you get quiet, I'll know you're trusting me." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Anybody in here really believe that God's hand is mighty? All right. If you'd bring my grandson in here and I'd tell him to do something and I'd raise this hand, what do you think he's going to do? I'm bringing him and ask him. There's two ways to look at the hand of God, and one of them we fail to look at very often, and that is who He loves, He chastises. So there's more than just one way to look at God's mighty hand. One of them is it's the position of power. That's what it represents. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Why? "That He may exalt you in due time." Do what I told you to do, and I'll exalt you later. Right now, I'm telling you, do what I told you to do. Well, you're painting the wrong picture, God. No, I'm not. I may be bringing to you the parental aspect or view of God, which more of us need, instead of the benevolent. We had a politician here recently say we're a nation of whiners. He was right. They mocked him and they ridiculed him, but he was right. We'd stop whining. Maybe we could stop crying ourselves out of trouble and just trust ourselves out of trouble. Humble yourself. Humble to what? What are we humbling ourselves? Well, number one, God's smarter than I am. How many of you just really honestly said to yourself, "There's somebody else smarter than I am"? He's stronger than I am, smarter than I am, more successful than I am, wiser, more cunning, more faithful, more loving. So if I in any way hold myself up to God, that in itself should humble me. And I should be easily, very easily admit to myself that I am a very wise man if I admit all these things. Humble myself. so that he can exalt me. That's what it says. Let's go to the next verse. In due time, by the way. Due time is when he says. 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Okay. Now we find another way. This is one way. The other is cast. Cast your care on him. How humbling is it to admit you screwed up? How many of you just love to do that? Just go around saying, I screwed up. I screwed up. Nobody. Well, then let's humble ourselves and just do it to the one that really wants to hear it anyway, really cares about it, so that he can exalt us in due time. Cast all your cares upon him. Let him do the caring for you. I preached a message one time it's God the trash can, based on that scripture right there. What are your cares? They're trash to you. They should be trash to you. And he says, pitch them on me. The things that I don't want, the things that are out of season, the things that stink, the things that are no longer useful, what do? If they don't profit you, if they're not good for you, you open up that lid and you throw them in. You go, I'm not going to mess that with anymore. God says, cast your cares upon me. I'm not trying to insult God. I'm just telling you what he says. 8. Here is our job. Be sober. As you look at Christians, as you look at Christian television, as you listen to Christian music, the first command here is be sober. Don't be the best joke teller. Don't be the best politician. Be sober. We're not talking about drinking. We're talking about being serious. When you handle the things of God, the Word of God, the calling of God, you're handling life and death. Be sober about that. Don't be so flippant that somebody couldn't walk up to you and ask for help when you're so busy being funny you can't help anybody. Be vigilant. Hey, stay awake all the time. Or be instant in season and out of season. Don't get lazy. And I don't think I want to believe today. I think I'll just take this medication. I think I just won't be working too hard. And faith today, I'm going to rest in this bottle. You hear me? I'm tired. I want a day off. So I'll just get sick today and call in sick. That's not being vigilant. That's not being sober. That's not being truthful. Here's why. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking... Are you on the right one? Yeah. Whom he may devour. Can I tell you what that says? Who he has permission to devour. God has killed him, stomped him, embarrassed him, and only we can give him permission to come after us. Whom he may devour. He can't devour unless he has permission. Or it wouldn't say whom he may devour. How do we give him permission? Don't be sober. Don't be vigilant. Take responsibility. Don't be faithful. When you take the responsibility of what's going on in your life and what you have to do, then it's all up to you. And now he may devour you because you've come out of in him and you've gone into the world. Does that make sense? And let me tell you something. When we're born again, we are no longer capable of being part of the world. We are totally vulnerable to the world. Except in him. So the minute we walk out from under the covering of the blessing, the blood of Jesus Christ, we are prime, we are number one targets. He doesn't have to go after the sinner, he owns them. He's looking for whom he may devour. I don't want to be may. Here's our job. Here's our faithful job. Resist him. Doesn't say kill him. Doesn't say arm wrestle him and finally win, because that job's already been done. It says resist him steadfast in the faith. How? In faith, you're sober and you're vigilant. Steadfast. Another word. Only in faith, when you got the shield of faith, he may not devour. You get rid of that shield of faith, he may devour. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we're not pleasing God, he may devour. Got quiet in here. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That last part took away our whine. It takes away our whine and our cry. Because the Scripture also says, nothing new under the sun. You want to humble yourself before God? Say, this is nothing new. I don't care what the problem is. There's thousands that have gone through this before me. Tens of thousands, possibly millions. No big deal. No hill for no stepper. No sweat. Instead of going, wah. But you don't understand. How many million times y'all heard that? You don't understand. Well, that Scripture says I do. It says, in fact, it says most of the world understands. So, what was your statement? Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Why are we going through this? To perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. My little grandson the other day just come running in there. Spider! Spider! He's all afraid of a spider. Come on. Let's walk in here. Cricket laying on the ground. Spider. How did I get him over this? I reached over and picked it up. Is what you're talking about? And he starts going, is what you're talking about? And he doesn't want it. Give me your hand. Is that what you're talking about? What is that about? Casting out fear. Why do you think God lets the roaring lion get around us every once in a while? Because most of us are afraid of a roaring lion. And how in the world are we ever going to get over it unless we look at him and say, I'm not afraid of you. To perfect you, settle you down, strengthen you, establish you. Who in the world, wants to come to a Christian that's afraid of everything? That everything makes them sick. Everything upsets them and makes them mad. And the minute they get mad, there's about four curse words going in there between Scripture. Who wants that person to minister to them? God wants us to be free, but serious. That means we never can laugh. Oh, please, you're not serious. To tell me I can't enjoy life is not being serious. To tell me that I have every right to enjoy it is serious. But don't look for the joy in booze, in sex, in all this nonsense that the world tells you where it's at. Resist that. The Bible says, resist him. He'll flee. Well, you think you're the first one to get that offer? How do we be carefree and vigilant? That's a good balance. We ought to try to get there and we ought to look to see how. Number one, resist anything that steals your peace. Do you understand anything that steals your peace is antichrist? Well, how serious should we be about this? Anything that steals your peace. Let God, let the Holy Spirit tell you what that is. But if you know in your heart that something is stealing your peace, resist it. Get rid of it. Stay away from it. That's not where I'm going to go. Be sober. Be diligent, vigilant. Let Him perfect this thing in you. Everybody in here has dealt with something that's silly. You understand what I'm saying? You shouldn't have felt convicted. It's so small. And yet God is picking some small things and saying, don't do it. Do you trust me? I'm telling you. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's don't eat bananas. I don't care what it is, and let's don't make up rules. Because that's when religion enters in. I don't care about your rules. I only care about mine. You need to care about yours. I've got some weird ones. People think that I'm weird. One of them is horror movies. I think it's retarded for a Christian to want to be scared. I just don't think I'm going there. Because it might work. Because I may be devoured. It doesn't have to be. I'm not trying to tell y'all anything. I'm telling you mine. I'm not going there. I get uncomfortable. I'm going to leave. Before it starts, not during that. I'm going to make a decision before it starts. Oh, this is a horror movie? I do the same thing with chick flicks, but that's different. No, there's got to be something else I need to do. You know what I want? I want God to touch my heart. I don't want somebody's tears. Tears will grab you, and I don't need to be grabbed unless it's God. And He's not going to cry on me. He's just going to touch me. That's what I want. I want my soft heart to stay soft towards Him. And I hate to say this, you won't like it, but I want to be hard to everything else. If you come crying to me, I want to say, what's the problem? That's no problem. Stop crying. Spider. No, it ends a cricket. See? Why? Well, guys, I got some news for you. Women have found out how to use tears. And if you don't resist that, you may be devoured. You'll make the wrong decisions based on wrong input. Where did it start? Eve did it. She said, oh, but it looks so good. Man, look at this. Smell. It's got to be good. That's what she said. It's got to be good. Look how pretty it is. He had the command. He yielded to the emotion. Got us all in trouble. I'm still mad at her. And this is, when you start dealing with faith, it gets deep. So I'm just going to hit one portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25. And I want to give you probably what is one of the more unusual looks at faith. It's the rubber meeting the road, that kind of faith. And it's a parable, but Jesus talked in parables, so we learn. This is faithful. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. That's us. Okay? A man, Jesus, called his servants, and he wanted to give those servants, we refer to them his talents, but they're blessings. They're commandments, which are blessings. If you'll just understand that every commandment is a blessing, we'll walk in more blessings. A man traveling to a far country who called his own servants, and he accomplished it. He had them, so he delivered him. He delivered them to his own. The ones he called. In this case, there were three. That's a parable. Verse 15, and to one he gave five talents. Now this isn't singing, playing the piano, washing dishes, and cooking. That isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about something that God gives you as a tool. Whether it's teaching, it can be singing, it's a ministry, as long as it's a ministry. A ministry creates profit. Listen to me. A ministry, you operating in the things of God creates profit, which brings profit from the world. If we could get that down, we'd stop seeking money. Money is going to overtake us. That's what the Bible says. And he's going to use the world to bring it to us. That's what the Bible says. Now that we got that settled, let's figure out how to make the real profit so that all this other stuff will overtake us. He delivered what he had, which was riches, and the ability to... I'm getting ahead of myself. And the riches. Five talents, two talents, and one. Now look at this. To each according to his own ability. Why was there 1-5, 1-2, and 1-1? Because God knew their ability. Don't forget this. God does not judge you by how much you make. That's where we screw up. Oh, that man's got a lot of money. He must be extremely blessed. Oh, no. You have no idea what you're talking about. To whom much is given, much is required. You better always remember that scripture. Dollars are not, they're something that you have to conquer and control. And when God gives it to you, you better be vigilant, settled, stable. Let's go on here. And immediately he went on a journey. He left. Sound like Jesus to me, right? 16. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them. He used this that God gave him and made another five talents. He doubled it. By the way, well, I'll get there. You'll believe me. He doubled it. It's pretty good. I promise you right now, if I could give you money and in a short period of time you double it, I would bring a lot of money on Wednesday night. If you'll double it for me. In fact, I've got some. I probably could make a lot of people happy right now if you'll promise to double it for me. Well, you know the reason I can't give it to you? Because God hasn't told me that you're capable. See, God knew these three men were capable of producing profit. What does God know about you? I'm not talking about money. Don't get lost in the money thing. I'm talking about for the kingdom of God, you are creating profit according to the calling that God has given you. Let's go on. Verse 16. By the way, you cannot divide money from talent. If you're doing the will of God, He's going to bless you. How much? It's not important. You'll be happy right where you are. Let Him take care of the amounts. Likewise, he who had received two, doubled that, two more. But he who had received one, hid it, dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Y'all ready to yield to God? The first thing you must say, it's not your money. It's not your talent. It's not your ability. If you don't, you get too big for your britches. That's what my grandmother would say. And the next thing she'd say, and I'll take you down a buttonhole or two. If it's God's, He paid a terrific price. Does He not deserve profit? Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. How long? A long time. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord. By the way, did you notice they didn't keep any of it? Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful and diligent and settled servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, one of the things that I want to remind you of, he was already in the joy of the Lord because he was enjoying what he was doing. He was making a profit. But because he was faithful and sober, the Lord said, I got some things far beyond you've ever thought or asked. And God means what he says. He also, in verse 22, he who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents beside them. Do you know what the guy with ten didn't do? He didn't say, two talents. I did five times more than you. He didn't say, God, don't you bless him as much as you bless me. Because you put a lot more on me. He didn't say that. Because then he would have lost the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord means the Lord is full of joy and you get the outflow. Church doesn't teach enough that when you make God happy, you get happy. And so the job is to make God happy, not God make me happy. Look at what the master said. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What did I just tell you? The exact same thing he said to the one with ten. See, God doesn't need riches. He's got them. He needs obedience and faithfulness. He doesn't care if it's ten or one. He just wants to know what you're going to do with it. Got to be faithful, sober, diligent. Are you going to say, oh man, God's tough. I don't know what I'm going to do. And worry yourself sick worrying about God's money, God's talent that He's given you. I'll show you in a minute where that gets you. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. Can I tell you something? If your boss ever gives you a job, don't sit down, come back to him and say, I know you were hard. You're a hard man. You want profit when you don't even work. Don't look for a promotion. Why do we pull things on God that we wouldn't pull on each other? I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Did God not sow into that man? Well, what a foolish thing to say. And gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Did you get the key here? I was afraid. The responsibility was on me. I was so afraid it bound me up. And went and hid your talent in the ground looking. Look, there you have what is yours. I have protected what is yours. God didn't want you to protect. He had total ability to do that. He wanted you to double or prosper or whatever, however you want to say it. 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy wicked and lazy, slothful, lazy. You knew what I wanted, you lazy bum. You hid it under the tree and sat under the tree on top of it and didn't do anything. And then tell me I'm hard and I don't work for what I get. It's time for the hand of God to move on this man, is it not? The mighty hand of God. Let's don't be there. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather what I have not where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have had received back my own interest. Did you see that? Did you know that God, take no thought for tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Did you know God has already figured profit in everything He's ever made? I'll say it to you again. God, He can't help it. When He makes something, when He creates, it's created with profit. What kind of profit? Profit to the kingdom, number one. Whatever else follows, it follows. But there's no loss. And when He came back and He told this man, I should have received my own with usury. I like the King James better. It says, my own interest. I gave you one. And in that one, I figured a usury interest, 10%. Now, where's my 10%? And if you don't find it for me, I'm going to take it out of your hide. That's what a father would say. We forget God's a father. Stan, you're being harsh tonight. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful. Listen, people of God, He has given us talents, and we're responsible to Him. He gave it to us expecting a return. He doesn't set the amount of return. You do. But I promise you, any return is good for Him. And He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful. And if there's no return, He says, wicked, lazy. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him that made me the most. Give it to the one that, take it from the guy that has nothing and made nothing and give it to the guy that made the most. In case you think God's in this just for chuckles. Y'all are looking at me like a calf in a new gate. Do you understand I'm talking about God? Or is this a different God than you know about? God's the most extreme businessman. We businessmen are created in God's likeness and image. So let's quit trying to make Him in ours. He created the earth expecting a prophet. He created you expecting a prophet. How do I know that? How do you think? How serious are you? Well, it tells you right there. For to everyone who has, more will be given. To everyone. Now, what you need to decide, do you has? You need to make get an understanding in your mind that God made you and you have some talents. Because when you decide that, then to everyone who has, more will be given. Unless you're stubborn and lazy. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, now let me say it again. The criteria, the judgment factor is this. Have you done with what God has given you as you should have? One talent? Ten. $1? Ten. One literal talent? Two or three. Have you used them for God? What does that mean, used them for God? To make a profit. Now you guys see, you're losing to me again. You think I'm talking about money. I am, but that's not the primary thing. See, the way God counts His wealth is souls. Do you understand that? The Scripture says the way God counts His wealth are souls. Have you been faithful with what God has given you? Because if you have, you're going to get more and abundance. But you see, if He's given it to you and you haven't used it, in other words, there's no profit been created, even what He has will be taken away. Now, here's how we understand that we're talking about eternal things. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we're talking about hell. How you know that? Well, read the book. Then you'll know. This is a quote from the book. I just taught against once saved, always saved. In case you didn't catch that. I just taught against eternal salvation. Just because God's touched you and called you friend and handed you some peace and joy and other things that will create profit doesn't mean that if you misuse them or don't use them, you can keep them. If I've offended anybody, I don't apologize, but I will say I wish you weren't offended. It's bad on you. Doesn't affect me at all. I'm careless. That's how we are faithful, but not responsible. I wanted you to understand that this formula that Jesus just taught in this parable, the prophet was already built into the gift. Did you hear me? The prophet is already, you are not responsible for the prophet. You're just responsible for using the gift. God will determine whether you make double or triple or quadruple or 10,000 times. That's God's business. You're not to get the big head and you're not to take the responsibility. Otherwise, you are one who may be devoured. If you walk in fear, you will be devoured. Now or eternally. Or maybe both. Now that's a loser. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk like this before. I've never heard this way. It's fun. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is going to be how we're not responsible. I want to talk to you about being not responsible. Did you create the earth? Did you create yourself? Did you create the talents that you have? Did you create tomorrow? Did you create today? Can you change your height 1 inch by worrying? Can you do anything to change anything? Yes. If you're faithful, you go from lack to prosperity, blessings and abundance. If you're not, you go to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Choose you this day, life and death, blessings and curses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, that means we stand up and get at attention. You don't think about anything. You don't look anywhere. You fix focus and you stay there. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. If you have worry, you've taken responsibility and you're not trusting God. You hear me? Worry will open up the devourer window. But it's a big circle right here so that the enemy knows exactly where to attack. Your armor just goes. Do not worry about your life. My goodness. He could have started a little easier. Didn't have to start that serious. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink nor about your body. I got to go to the doctor every month and I've got to take this whole load of pills and I've got to have $2,000 worth of medical insurance every month and at least $1,000 worth of life insurance because I'm worried. What about my family? See how we cop a worry? We blame the family. Well, I've got to leave them prepared. Leave them prepared. Teach them faith. Use the talents. Don't worry about what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body and more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? Even when they're out there eating your flowers? Are you not more value than they? This is a question. You have to answer questions. Are you not more valuable than them? Did you know what we just did? We established an importance strata in God's creations. A bird is a bird. And adults, humans, created in God's likeness and image, are more important than birds. That's what the scripture just said. Dogs and cats also. It's all right for them to be on the menu. They were provided. I love animals. They taste good. They were put here. We're to have dominion over them all. I'm just opening all things up for offensive tonight, aren't I? Twenty-seven. Which of you by worrying can add 1 inch to his stature? Here's a good question. So why do you worry? See, God gets to the point. You don't mess around. Why are you worrying? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like, was not near as pretty as one of them. What old Mark used to say? I can resemble that. I'm not as pretty as a lily. I'm not a lily either, by the way. I'm better than that. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, which it today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's after, why do you worry? O you of little faith, why do you worry? You worry, O you of little faith. You worried about anything? O you of little faith. The mighty hand of God has a finger. O you of little faith. When worry flag goes up, God says, O you of little faith. You better watch out. Your armor's parting. Don't worry. Don't be responsible. Don't be responsible. Why do you think I'm working on this so hard? Let me tell you a clue about preaching. One of our preachers preaching hard on, he's got the problem. God's dealing with him, and he gets to share with you. Y'all can say amen and get some of that back on me. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, don't be like them. Be separate. Be sanctified. Be bold. Be diligent. Vigilant. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. The mighty hand wants to pop one right upside of your head because you keep telling him about what you need. And he's told you he already knows what you need. Why are you getting in my face without telling me something I already know? Do you want the responsibility of taking care of this? Because if you do, you keep bugging me. I'm going to give it to you. God would never talk like that. Who? You don't know God very well. You need to quit listening to the sweet preaching and learn the real God. Man, don't get caught crossing a divided sea after the wrong thing. You better know where you are and where you're going, or some sea will just come right down on you. Is that a threat? No, it's a promise. The Bible promises. Verse 33, but seek. How do we become not responsible? Seek first the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of money. Not the kingdom of healing. Not the kingdom of tongues. Not the kingdom of sanctification. Not the kingdom of baptism. Seek first the kingdom of God. And His being right. Righteousness. See, if you humble yourself and know that God's always right, you are seeking to be right. So you're seeking righteousness. It's very simple. Everybody wants to be right. Well, acknowledge God's right and seek it. And all these things, all of what things? Clothes, food, health, finances. You seek first the kingdom of God, and God's a liar. He didn't mean this. That's your choice. Right now, your choice is He tells you the truth, and all these things will be added, or He's a liar. And don't ever trust Him again. Find a better God. That's what He wanted to tell you. If you don't trust me, go find a better one. Is this funny? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For the entity called tomorrow has been given an assignment to take care of itself. Sufficient for the day. The troubles of tomorrow, that day is able to take care of. Because God has already told you tomorrow, you take care of it. You take care of tomorrow. These people, my children, will not be given the assignment to take care of tomorrow. You're going to do it for them. How do you know that? Sun is still working. And all the scientists and all the news media that said it's burning up, they're full of baloney. It's going to do what it was assigned to do until it no longer has the assignment. And that'll be when you and I don't need it anymore. By the way, the big light was given charge over the day, and there's a little light called the moon and the stars given charge to take care of even the darkest times. All of these things will be added to you if you'll just open your eyes. God, open their eyes and let them see how much of this is real. You need to yield to these things. Humble yourself and yield to these things. These are truths I'm telling you. Fall at the feet of truth and watch all these things be added to you. Tell those people that are trying to drag you back to worry that they need to humble themselves. And shut up for one thing, because I'm not listening to you anymore. You try to make my armor come open, and I don't want it open anymore. There's a draft that I don't like. Obedience brings worry-free, carefree living. Life. And that more abundantly. That's what obedience does. Disobedience brings worry. By the way, it brings care. with no resolve. You know what caring for something brings? No resolution. Worry. You'll never get anywhere. That's what it says. You'll not change a thing by worrying. You'll not add one. I'm worrying. I'm building muscles. No, you're not. Just one between your ear. That's a muscle you're developing. It's called hard heart. Relax. Relax. We ought, by the way, all of this, this is an eternal, as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to have this fight. We're going to have it. We need to learn to obey, listen carefully, rest our way out of problems. That doesn't make any sense. Now you're getting it. If it doesn't make sense, it's God. If you got it figured out, I don't want to hear it. If you figured it out, I don't want to hear it. It's far below those things that God have. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Tell me what God says. Then I know. Rest our way out of problems and into being healthy, wealthy, and wise. We got peace. We sang a song that said, one day, every knee will bow. No, this day. If you don't learn to bow your knee, humble yourself before God, you'll never enjoy the peace of God. Bow your knee to the blessings of God. Do you? We are the goofiest bunch of people. We resist blessings. We won't just fall down and say, hit me. This sounds good. I'm going to not worry anymore. Oh, no, no, you need to worry. Here comes your friends. Here comes your kinfolks. Man, if you don't worry, you won't get things done. Now, if I worry, my Bible says I'll never get anything done. Well, which one do I believe? Resist, he will flee. He's looking for whom he can devour. What are you believing? You believe in the truth? Are you believing, and that's another message, you believe in the truth, or you believe the tradition? Choose you this day. The news media comes on. Oh my God, there's a storm coming to Corpus. No, there isn't. No, my Bible says I have dominion. It will go somewhere else. Why? Because I don't want it here. And God said I have dominion. Didn't say I have to fall on my knees and beg. Didn't say I have to fall on my knees and ask God, is it okay? Do you really want that storm to come here and wipe me out? Don't waste your time. Just stand out there and tell that storm, storm. You get back out there and bury yourself. You know how long it takes God to wreck a storm? His breath is stronger than that one. He walked out in that stormy boat and said, peace be still. How many words do you have to use? He said, the things that I do, you'll do also, even more. That's scripture. You believe it? Then learn to say, peace be still. Look in the mirror and say, peace be still. Look at your friends and say, be still. That's antichrist. I'm not listening to that nonsense. Oh man, you look bad. You look like your blood pressure is way too high. You're fixing to meet the mighty hand of God. You think I'm joking. This is life and death stuff we're talking about. How you believe is how you are. That simple. You believe it that you're at the mercy of this world, then you are at the mercy of this world. If you believe your future is dependent upon your boss or the price of oil, you know, I hesitate in even telling you this, but the price of oil went down. Do you know that? I got my oil check this month. It was $3,000 less than last month. And I got, oh my goodness, I need to worry. I heard it coming. Oh my, I need to worry. And I thought, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That was nothing. Look what I'm still getting. You see how easy we fall into this nonsense? We want to look at always the lack instead of the blessing. More than that, see, I not only have plenty to go, I have the promise that says in abundance that stuff will be added to me. And I don't have to go drill the hole. Because if I drill the hole, I have to be responsible for the money it takes to drill it, and then I better hit a gusher. And if I just say, God, unearned income, that's what you promised me, that's what I receive. Then let him figure out how he's going to bless you. He's not a liar, he's a promise keeper. And I don't mean the kind that run around the country saying I'm one. He is one. I had somebody say, let's go to promise keepers. I said, what? Promise keepers. What I need to go for? I am one. What are they going to teach me? Well, you're antisocial. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. We'll get together. Let's talk about the Word. Let's talk about the Word and watch God move on you. Bow your knee to the blessing. It's part of the humility. We were singing that song, My Redeemer Lives. Does He? He has already redeemed you. And He's still alive and well. In what way? I'm still redeemed. Right? I'm redeemed from lack, want, need, worry, responsibility. One more picture, then we got to get out of here. You parents, if you had the ability to make it where your children could be worry-free for the rest of their life, would you do it for them? And you being earthly parents, how much more does God want to do the same thing? All He wants you to do is be faithful. You know what faith? You know what the greatest, toughest, largest, full-time work that you'll ever run into? Being faithful. Not witnessing. Not praying. Not all those things the church is teaching. You got to be faithful. Faithful. Full of faith. That means God says, all you got to do is take it. And I don't care what it is, you reach out and grab it. Trust me. Okay? Okay. Jump. Jump. Test me. Try me. Have you ever, ever trusted God when He really failed you? I've seen this happen. If you'll just heal this person, I'll live for you the rest of my life. God says, you'll do it where I heal it or not. But you don't, you deal with me. I said, if you don't, you're going to hell. They die. This person gets mad. From then on, they live under a curse because what they think God did. What they don't, listen to me carefully, what they don't realize is they looked at God and said, if you don't heal him, I won't live for you. And God says, you don't deal here. Humble yourself to this thought. You don't deal. You obey. The most humbling thought in the world. You don't deal. You obey. Now that makes you weak. Oh no, that makes you strong. That makes you profitable. Makes you talented. That makes you desirable. To who? God, if nobody else. That's the most important thing. I enjoyed tonight. I got some out. I didn't even have to be nice about it. It just boom. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. I don't know if y'all enjoyed it, but I did. Pastor Dole would say, I preached myself happy. However you can phrase it, I enjoyed tonight. I'm glad y'all were there so it'd ricochet and come back at me. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I receive it. I hope what I've given you tonight blesses you, but not just makes you feel good. I don't care if you feel good. I want you to be blessed. We'll go down to the doctor's office and get some stinking shot that hurts and makes us sick for 3 days, and we think that's a blessing. You can walk into the presence of God and be healed, and you are blessed. Does it come with pain? No, but it may come with a test, which might include a little pain. What do you care? By the way, why do I even go there? Listen, you just trust God. You trust God. How come? Because He won't cross you. He will not cross you. And He'll do what He says. Hallelujah. All hearts clear tonight. I'm not going to ask you if we need to pray anything. I don't want you praying. I want you to do. We spend way too much time praying and not near enough time doing. Pray on the do. Pray on the go. Get moving, then pray. By the way, your mouth and your feet work at the same time. They can, most people. So you can say, I'm going, God. Come on, let's talk. And just go. Man, you're on your knees. You can't get anything accomplished. I don't mean, that just sounds so bad. It sounds so bad. It goes against nearly everything I've been taught, but that's what I found out. Man, I can get out there in an open field and I can pray and I can yell and I can scream and God's there. And if I'm mad, I turn glad. Amen. Father, I thank you for your people tonight. And I thank you so much that you did what I asked you to do, which is use me tonight. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for using my wife to get in my face so I could get back in hers. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for using this situation to correct me. I ask you to not let anybody be here tonight that's not changed. And I believe that is the way it is. Receive no other report. We now go home basking in your glory and your word and your presence. And tomorrow we're going to get up expecting the talents to perform, you to perform them through us, and the abundance to overtake in whatever form that is. Everybody in here, I speak healing, blessing, wisdom, and understanding, and soberness, diligence in your life, and walk in faith. And I do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that receives and agrees says, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening.